Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nasir Khor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
When the most intriguing thing about your game is who's not playing, you must be pretty darn good. Welcome to Snap Judgments. He is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. The Buckeyes are winners again, and they did it shorthanded. Some of it by choice, some of it by necessity. All of it still really encouraging. 48-10 is that win over UCLA, win number 10 this season for the Buckeyes. And it was another one where, yes, it felt at times, Berm, like they were just going through the paces, but these paces are pretty much better than everyone else in the country.
Sometimes you have to just go through the paces. Ryan Day said it immediately in his press conference, asked about the game, said it was very workmanlike. That's what the Buckeyes have to do. This was not a game that they were going to be challenged from UCLA on a talent standpoint or in any way, shape, or form from what UCLA could do offensively or defensively against them. The Buckeyes came out, Julian Sain completed his first 11 passes. The Buckeyes scored on their first five possessions, two field goals because of getting the ball at the 10-yard line after the blocked or whatever kind of punt that was. I'm not giving you a block punt. The guy kicked it right into you. Way to be there, though. I mean, I guess, kudos. The Buckeyes were going.
He told me it was just the intimidation factor.
The Buckeyes were obviously trying to block that punt. That they had an opportunity to do something. So you get a block punt, you get a kick return for a touchdown, you have other phases of the game step up. I thought that there were a lot of really encouraging things, especially in the run game tonight, from the start of the game to the end of the game, with James Peoples scoring with a minute and a half to go. There were a lot of really good things, and there was a lull in the first 8 minutes of the second half where the wind started to pick up. Julian Sain got a little loose with the football. There were new receivers out there. It was a little bit like, wonky. But overall, it's 48-10. You're 10-0. You have senior day coming at Ohio Stadium next weekend, which is crazy to think about already. And you can see the end of the regular season in sight. You know what's coming at the end of November. The decision to not play Carnell Tate, to not give Jeremiah Smith any snaps in the second half, to not put Caleb Downs out there in the second half, is all geared towards that. And I think, if last week was a scrimmage against Purdue, this one felt like a preseason game in a lot of ways for Ohio State. We're ramping up towards what really matters.
Yeah.
And it certainly can be frustrating for folks at times. Again, we did not see Ohio State try to blitz the passer. We did not see Ohio State try to be super aggressive defensively. We watched in the second half as Devin Sanchez kind of got put out on an island a little bit and did not particularly fare that well. Those are important snaps for him. I know people are going to see it, and I'm sure Twitter's already been all over him tonight, but how do you get better if you don't? I mean, I go back to 2014. Remember Gerrion Conley? He had horrible stretches of football and ended up being a first-round pick a couple years later. So
Eli Apple is the guy that comes to mind for me.
I'm sorry. I'm actually getting my first round corner is confused, and Devin Sanchez is going to be fine.
Yeah.
But there are, you have to have those days. And I think maybe it's my fault because I was a lot of time in the preseason calling him the defensive Jeremiah Smith.
You did.
But what I've maybe left out, or at least I'm coming to realize, playing cornerback's a whole hell of a lot harder than playing wide receiver.
I feel like I tried to tell you that, but it does.
You were right. I was wrong.
It's not about who's right or not about who's wrong. I think Devin Sanchez and Aaron Scott getting opportunities to play and learn from their mistakes. They have to go against the best wide receivers in America in practice. They get a lot of reps. Games are different, and coaches will tell you that, players will tell you that. So I think that they will take something like this, and I assume both of them will be better for it in the long run. And that's the point for what Ohio State is doing right now with managing the health and managing the snaps of the stars. If you get 10 opportunities for Hakeem Delane that you weren't maybe anticipating because you sit down Caleb Downs for the entire second half, good. When you're doing that on the defensive line the way Ohio State is, and you have Zion Grady get involved, good. When you and
Riley Pettijohn
ramping up to this situation, that's is what everyone I think is most intrigued by and waiting to see. Oh boy, it was scary because we said on the pregame keys we didn't think that Jeremiah Smith was going to play at all with the questionable status, and he did not look like himself. He still made an insane one-handed grab on the sideline.
Maybe the best catcher of his career.
Like crazy stuff that only he can do. Had four catches before he sat down. I thought they'd try and get him a touchdown and then pull him out. Didn't quite work that way. But he's going to be fine. I think, you know, certainly they wouldn't have played him if there was any real risk of something being worse.
Yeah.
And I saw Jeremiah Smith talking to Brian Hartline before the game. He's like, I'm good. I'm going to play. And then they came to this compromise of the number of snaps. Now, that was different than Carnell Tate, who a week ago was not listed on the availability report and then did not play. He had dressed and he went on the road. Ohio State thought it's not a long-term situation. And this, I'm telling you right now, I talked to four people on the football staff about it. They still are saying that it is not a long-term issue for Carnell Tate. The expectation as of this very moment is that he will play next week against Rutgers.
Go ahead, say it. He doesn't need to.
He doesn't need to play. And we're all day-to-day.
Right.
Things can change in practice. So I'm not telling you with absolute certainty, mark it down, take it to the bank, Carnell Tate is going to play next week. But if there's a notion that this is a Jackson Smith and Jigba situation, or he's more seriously hurt than you and I are letting on, that is, I asked as many people as I could. And the exact nature of that muscle situation, I don't know. I can't tell you. Nobody wants to say that. But they all are steadfast that Carnell Tate will be returning to Ohio State, and they think it's going to be pretty imminent.
Football is a really physical game, and practices are physical. And, Brandon Ennis, we saw him post-game. Major ice pack all over his upper body. Like, this is what football is. And this UCLA, despite not being very good, they were physical. They tried to do some things. I thought Ohio State, for their part, really answered the bell there, especially the offensive line. There was a one run in the second quarter with Bo Jackson down to the 1 yard line that they called a penalty on UCLA on for offsides or something. And yes. That's as physical a run as we've seen from Ohio State running back in a long time. Just like, you're not going to tackle me. And we saw Isaiah West do the same thing on a carry that he had where he got stopped at the goal line and he kept fighting and he didn't get the touchdown on that play. He got it on the next one. But I think that this, and I am fairly nitpicky in snap judgments by trade. It's kind of, I'm an Ohio State fan. I don't hide it. I get emotionally invested when things are not going well out here. I thought tonight went as well as you can expect it to, considering that Nico Iamalava was not playing and the Buckeyes decided that they could change their game plan a little bit because of that. I just think that you have to take your wins when you can get them. That said, Jeremiah Smith, if he's even remotely not healthy 100% next week, he doesn't need to play. And I'm going to say something crazy. I'm going to say something super crazy.
Okay.
If Julian Sayin's not 100%, he shouldn't play.
Okay.
Like, I understand. And Rutgers is a better team than UCLA. I think Lincoln Keenholz could win. Julian had a little bit of a hitch in his giddy-up, too. He had to go to the medical tent.
I was very surprised at that. That was one of the hip-drop tackles that the NFL has banned that was completely unnecessary and also wasn't called for any sort of late hit. I thought there were two occasions. Because you said UCLA played tough. They were playing beyond the whistle and, like, borderline, like, dangerous and chippy.
It was getting there at times. And, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Julian Sayin. I'm just saying when we watched him walk.
Well, they took him in to the tent. They taped him up. They had him run down the sideline.
So, like, anybody who's out here. And I actually thought nitpick again. If there was a confusing thing for me tonight, it's that the offensive starters went back out in the second half. At all. Like, when you see Caleb Downs being pulled at the start of the second half, I think Julian Sayin should have been pulled at the start of the second half, too. That's just me. I understand you're working some things in. You don't want to take away the opportunities from Mylan and Bryson and these guys. And kudos to Bryson Rogers. Congratulations on your first career touchdown. Buckeyes tried clearly to get one to Mylan on the one pass play that it was a little bit of pressure, so Julian had to get rid of it a little faster than he wanted. But I think that if you have these guys, you want to give them the best chance to succeed. And so do you think that's Julian out there? I understand. But that's as nitpicky as I can get tonight. Like, I think this was as good.
Well, nobody's forcing you to nitpick.
I know, but I want to because I know America wants me to. But I just think that this is exactly the type of game you had to have. 48 points is what? The second highest point total this season for Ohio State, I think. like you did what you needed to do. You left some points on the board. You could have won this game 63-3 probably, and that's okay. You don't have to. I think that Ryan Day was really happy with the run game, as I said. I thought Gabe Van Sickle played great when he got out there in place of Tegra Shibola at times. I thought Tegra played a good game. I didn't see him like constantly picking up a quarterback or an unblocked guy off of his running backs.
I thought he was pretty good early on, and then he had a little bit of a dip, I think, on that first drive of the third quarter, which, that's nitpicky. Yeah. And that's the part that I've come around to with Ohio State's offensive line, is Tegra Shibola is going to be part of it. Yep. Like, if Josh Padilla or Gabe Van Sickle or Ethan Onyanwa were practicing at a level that made it unequivocal that they could do more than Tegra Shibola is offering right now, then they would be out there. Yep. I don't think this team has so much at stake, and they've had plenty of opportunities to rotate and tinker with the lineup because of the level of competition that they have faced has not been the stoutest over the last few weeks, outside of Penn State with the actual talent of their roster, but maybe not their execution. Like, this would have been a game where you could have just said, you know what, Tegra can come back and he could have the week off. We're going to do all this with Gabe Van Sickle, all this with Ethan Onyanwa. They're not doing that. So this is what it's going to look like. And I think there are going to be bad plays for him. But the good still, I think, outweighs the bad.
There's going to be good and bad for everyone. And I think the Ohio State coaching staff deserves a lot of credit, honestly, for the way that they've been handling this. Because I think that there is an opportunity to just have come right out and say, hey, you know what, Tegra is not – he's not the guy. We're not going to – but they're still going. James Peoples tonight is a player that, like, if James Peoples gives you what he gave you tonight every week, and maybe some of that is, again, by just default because C.J. Donaldson was not out there – but I don't know. It looked to me like Bo Jackson and Isaiah West inside of the five could score on their own. And what you saw to James Peoples in the passing game, in the run game, just physical, like the light is coming on there. And if you get that additional weapon to this offense now, like the coaching staff, again, deserves a ton of credit. And that goes to Carlos Lachlan, Ryan Day, for not giving up on James Peoples. And I think you'll see it on the notebook, folks, when you watch it in a little bit here. Like the look on his face tonight is like, that is a kid who's probably breathing a lot easier than he has for the last 2 months. And I think that's why I'm not going to get worked up about the Devin Sanchez game or Aaron Scott or anything tonight. Like, I thought the defense was great. We don't see a lot of creativity out of the defense right now, but you don't need to. Like, you don't need to.
There was some.
I said a lot.
Yeah.
I said there's not a lot. I didn't say there was
a lot. There wasn't a ton. It was a little bit, especially with Caleb Downs. Maybe it's because Matt Patricia had to squeeze it all into the first half. I'm going to line him up here. I'm going to line him up there. I'm going to line him up everywhere.
Yeah.
And Caleb Downs was really effective. But you have a highlight reel play from James Peoples with the hurdle. You have special teams getting a right here. Lorenzo Styles, like, I'm taking this out. And I'm like, should he?
He hesitated.
And then he's like, he took it out. Yeah. He's like, all right, I took it out, so I better make something of it. And he did. The 15-year kickoff return for a touchdown drought is over. Kudos to Lorenzo Styles for making that play. Saw Jaden Fielding bang through some field goals. Like,
it's a tough night to kick in here tonight, so kudos to Jaden.
Long punt from Joe McGuire.
50-some yarder.
Special teams. Kudos.
We have to call it out when it happens.
You have to give it at where it's due. Lorenzo also had 5 tackles on defense. He and Sonny combined for 12. Great night for the Styles brothers in this win. Which, again, they didn't need to play all that much in the second half, and nobody did. But special teams, credit for that. Who did I talk about this week making a change in red zone situations at fullback? Nate Roberts had 2 lead blocks that were critical for touchdowns down there. You know, credit where it's due. When these guys, it goes back to your point, whether that's James Peoples, whether that's Edric Houston, whether that is Nate Roberts in this situation, this coaching staff is willing to let players make mistakes because they are afforded a margin for error against opponents like this, where you can, and then you can develop and get better for the next week. And Nate Roberts did. Yeah. So kudos to them.
I grabbed Nate as he was walking off the field. I said, this is your best game. And the smile on his face, like, he knew it. And he had a big catch from Lincoln Keenholz, who threw the ball very well in his 3 attempts. I was walking off the field with Lincoln, and he patted me on the back, and I said, dude, like, there's nothing better than when a quarterback delivers a hit and then gets up talking. And he was jacked after the game, like that he got that opportunity. I was
hoping he didn't do that. Ohio State needs their backup quarterback.
He enjoyed it.
I know he did.
And you know, these kids all work so hard, and like I think about players like Ryan Rudzinski on this team who is not playing much. He's a walk-on. He's a Buckeye legacy. He's a guy that loves Ohio State, bleeds scarlet and gray. He's one of like the best athletes on the team, but you know, he was out here for the kick return and gets to be a part of that kick return for the touchdown.
Yeah.
And then Lorenzo goes 102 yards, and the first person to meet him on the sideline is Sonny Styles, and the official comes over and pulls Sonny and is like, "Hey, you're not supposed to be over here." So they say, "It's my brother."
That's my brother.
So the guy's like, "Oh, okay." So
like, yeah, why don't you cool it, ref?
It's unbelievable how these things work out. But this program is a lot of fun, and I hope people next week get to like appreciate that, because sometimes the games themselves feel boring, but if you really deep dive into who these kids are and what this staff is doing and how they're building this program, it is impossible not to be really appreciative of what they are. And next Saturday, probably at noon, we're looking at senior day in Ohio Stadium already, which is again insane. It'll be the last time for Lorenzo Styles out here. I know he's a guy that a lot of folks have had things to say about, because he struggled at times a year ago.
It's as the last time for both of them.
It's the last time for the Styles brothers. Like, show up and be here. I don't care what the weather is next Saturday. Just, it's going to be.
Yes, you do.
This team deserves some celebration. This has been as cruise control of 11 weeks of a football season as we've ever seen, ever. And like the things that we're all panicking about, the injuries, the little things, creating a whole cloth. Darnell Tate's quitting on his team. Like, what are we doing as a society when this is the problem? Carnell's out here, first guy in the middle of Carmen, Ohio. He's like, I just think that I hope people appreciate this team. That's all. Maybe they don't win a national championship. Maybe they lose to Michigan. Whatever. I'm not saying that doesn't matter. Obviously, I'm saying appreciate the ride. Like, appreciate the journey, and don't always get so caught up on just the destination. Because this team is fun.
I think the journey's been awesome. I will admit that I was a little bit bored during the Purdue game. I wasn't tonight. There were a lot of new things that had my attention that I think I was skeptical about how much pedal pushing Ryan Day was going to do. He did some.
I mean,
not a lot, to borrow your phrase, but you can see it where he knows that the finish line, that the big house is in sight, that matchup with Indiana potentially after that. I know that, you know, Ohio State's program will not look further ahead than even Rutgers, and certainly not past the rivalry at the end of the month. But, you know, he did more, I think, today, especially given the balancing act that he has to do, or doesn't have to do it, the balancing act that he is doing with the health of this team, that I was like, okay, this, we're about to see something else. This next phase of the journey could be pretty special, because what they're doing consistently week after week after week, I'm not taking that for granted, and I don't think anybody should. But like, you can also, when we're nitpicking or when we're talking about this thing that they could do that they haven't, or this defensive look, like, there's more that this team can do, and they're positioned to do that very soon.
Yeah, I mean, he went 3 fourth down attempts, including, I think, 8 of them on one drive. Like, that was a wild drive. And again, that ends with Bryson Rogers' first career touchdown. They went for it up 34-0 in the second half on a 4th-and-5 from their own 39-yard line, just because Ryan, I think, was annoyed that they weren't moving the ball. He was very upset at Julian saying after that throwing out of bounds. Like, he was like, what are you doing? So, like, this team isn't bored. That's for sure. Like, they are chasing perfection, and they've been as close to it as any team in the country through this point of a season, to the point where national media are saying, well, this team's boring. They're not – we don't even know. They're not – they haven't been tested, so they're not good. They're like, okay.
That part drives me bonkos. This team, they're not hiding from anybody. They didn't soften up their non-conference scheduling. They didn't go full Cignetti with their scheduling. They want to be tested.
Yeah.
They're not they're not hoping that Nico is missing and unavailable, so we get an easy one tonight.
Well, and let me just say, I am not a medical doctor, but I do have some questions about why someone is missing a game with a concussion and then traveling across the country on a flight and then sitting in a stadium with 106,000 people screaming at 110, 112 decibels for the entire first half. So I'm a little bit confused by that, but
what if they played every snap the week before and fulfilled media obligations during the week?
I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just wondering. That to me does not seem like the normal protocol, but kudos for Nico for being out here and supporting his team.
Yeah. He watched them lose, just like he lost in here in December of last year with Tennessee. They've been pretty lopsided both times he's been in here. He did get nicer weather this evening for this visit on a beautiful mid-November night in the Horseshoe. The Buckeyes won 48-10 over the visiting UCLA Bruins. As Berm said, we're thinking it's going to be noon next week. We know it's not going to be a night game, but there will be some official confirmation of that kickoff time as the Buckeyes get ready for Senior Day against Rutgers. But there's a full week of content coming before that. You can check out the Notebook later on 97.1 The Fan's YouTube channel or 10TV+. Be back with a Boren Blitz on Monday, back with the live show, everything else all week long as we get ready for the last home game of the season in the Horseshoe. That is hard to believe. It's gone fast, but it's been very fun, and tonight was too. Buckeyes, big winners, win number 10. He's Berm, I'm Austin. Thanks so much for joining us on Snap Judgments. We'll talk to you later.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back. The most competitive basketball league on earth is on CBS this Saturday. Big 3 All-Star Dwight Howard and the LA Riot take on Greg Monroe and the Dallas Power. Then Coach Rick Mahorn, Sensation Nazir Kor, and the Detroit Amps look to protect home court against back-to-back MVP Michael Beasley and the defending champs Miami 305. The game played the way you love. Watch live Saturday on CBS at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and catch replays on BET.
Yay, yay!